Hi, welcome to Wisdom for the Ages, a podcast produced by Claremont Senior Services. Any of the information you hear on our show can be found on our website at www.claremontseniors.com. I'm your host, Jennifer. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to our very first podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Wisdom for the Ages is a senior lifestyle podcast. We want to give you some resources that are trusted and reliable and just help you live your daily lives. So we're going to be talking about some fun things like day trips from Claremont County, things you can do in our park districts, activities for seniors within our community. We're going to talk to some really great people that you should probably know. We're also not afraid to tackle the tough stuff. So we're going to talk about memory care and being a caregiver and all the difficulties that come with that. We want to protect you too, so we'll also talk about scams and how you can avoid fraud. But today, we're so excited to have a fun topic. We want to introduce you to somebody that you should know in Claremont County. His name's George Rooks, and he has a special place in our hearts here at Claremont Senior Services. So sit back and relax. You just might learn something that you didn't know before. Enjoy. Okay, so our very first podcast, we're honored to have Mr. George Rooks with us. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Where do you live? How old are you? And then we will kind of dive into your career and questions like that.
Well, if you folks know where the Long Branch Farm is over below Goshen, at the Nature Center's got that big house up on a hill where I was born about 85 years ago, or putting it 86 years. Well, we was farmers. My dad and mother was farmers, so we had a dairy. We've been on a dairy for years, and we shipped milk to the United Dairies.
Oh, okay.
Until my dad died in 1950. So I got married, and we was married 58 years when she passed away. But we had rented a farm above Blanchester, 300 acres, and then moved back down home in the Newtonsville area, and finally went broke. The soybeans were ready to harvest in the fall, and it went to raining and couldn't get them out. So then I went to work for Stone Lick Lake, and I went over. I heard they were going to hire somebody to work, and I went over. And I said to the fella, "I hear you're going to hire somebody, you need to hire somebody." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'd like to put in for the job." He said, "You got a driver's license?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're hired."
Wow.
And today, you got to have a college degree and all this bull crap to get on there. But that's the way that I worked from there. And East Fork opened up, and I got transferred over there in 1970 and watched it be built, the dam and what have you. So,
wow. What did that job consist of at East Fork? What types of things did you do there?
Well, I managed it.
Okay.
I watched them build a campground, and move a cemetery into where Old Bethel Church is now, and I just managed the whole park and the workers and what have you.
Hmm. That's very interesting. I was just looking at some pictures of East Fork after we've gotten all this rain that we've had recently, and I've never seen it so high before. Do you recall
that? Do you know where the restrooms is? Did you go down to the public ramp in the park?
Yeah.
In February, it lacked 18 inches getting up into them.
Wow.
That's the highest that I know it's ever been.
Wow.
I don't know what... they've got the gates locked, so you can't get down there, and I can't see what it is. So I have no idea how high it got. The fishing is good there at East Fork. A fella told me last fall, he said he said I left an $8 plug up at East Fork, and I said, "What'd you do, spill your tackle box?" He said, "No. A muskie took it away from me."
Oh my goodness.
So they've been getting some 35 and 40 pound muskie out of the lake.
And, wow.
They get, every year they'll get one or two big catfish that will weigh up 40, 50 pounds.
Wow.
And the fishing is extremely good in the lake.
Hmm.
So I'm retired, and we got a 2-acre place that we bought right across from the park out of Bantam. So I raised a garden. I got a carpenter shop. I built stuff for craft shows. And I got potatoes planted now. I got a tomato about 8 inches tall sitting there in the house.
Oh, wow.
Just watch it grow, you know. So I've been in agriculture or gardening all my life.
Tell me about your potatoes, because I've only tried to grow potatoes once, and it was a horrible failure. So how do you plant yours?
I shouldn't say this, but I plant them in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. I've got a I use tractor tires in gardening, and I had a big tractor tire, and I put 10 plants in this tire about 2 weeks ago. A friend of mine that died at 101 would always plant, well, not always, but every once in a while, he would plant potatoes in the last of November or the first of December. Now, you know, the potatoes will stay in the ground and it can freeze and what have you, and in the spring they'll grow. Because
mm-hmm.
if you've ever seen where the people have dug potatoes, there'll be a few sprouts come up where they have missed. So I've done that, and I've got some other, I haven't got my walls of water out yet. I do that in, I'll do that next week. And it then the 1st of April, I set tomatoes in it.
Okay.
And that wall to water will warm the ground. And several years ago, we had tomatoes there, neighbors. Now, the walls of water are 17 inches tall, and the tomatoes out of the walls of water are about 6 inches.
Okay.
Green, growing. And Ruth Ann said, you better go out and see how bad they're hurt with the frost.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out, and the tomato was still as green as it was the day before. And you put your hand over, and you could feel the heat coming up out of that. And the walls of water was solid ice. You could pick it up.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. So I'm busy on gardening and on in the carpenter shop. And I got honeybees, too. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That seems, honeybees seem to be a popular thing right now. More and more people are interested.
More people
in
getting into it than what they have in the past. They're having a hard time with the spray and the economy the way it is, and they're cleaning all the fields up, they're cleaning all the fence rows out,
mm-hmm.
and they're spraying the crops, and that's hurting the honeybees. So I've been feeding mine all winter, so we'll see what comes. April is the worst time for them.
Okay.
The weather is warming up and it's getting cold again, so it's a bad time.
So when you say you feed them all winter, to somebody that doesn't know anything about bees,
sugar water.
Okay.
I've used 3 bags of sugar. I take a quart jar and I fill it half full of sugar,
mm-hmm.
then fill it up the rest of the way with water.
Okay.
And stir it up real good and put it in. So I feed stuff to keep it going, you know, and what have you. So,
mm-hmm.
and then, but we're busy. When I was growing up, Dad and Mother bought a farm above Newtonsville. Now, as I said here, I'm 186 years old. But this was in the 30s, or a little before that. Dad and Mother bought this farm, 50-acre farm, for $2,400, yeah.
You can't even buy a car for that these
days. Well, you can't even buy a nice lawnmower for that today either. You know?
No.
But we was there, and then Dad got down sick for, he was down for 8 years before he died. And I was 11 years old when he got down sick and had a younger brother. So we was farming, and we used horses to farm with, and had a tractor. And Dad had a combine, and so 11-year-old boy went and combined about 60 acres of soybeans and had a fellow to haul them away from it.
Wow.
So I was raised up that way to work, and mm-hmm. still doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of volunteer work.
Tell me about some of your volunteer work. What kind of organizations are you
part of? Well, the Grange, And I might say this, I got a call from Gladys Lytle day before yesterday that one of the ladies had suggested that lives toward New Richmond to get some cleaning supplies and take down to some of these people and so they can clean up the place after the flood.
Right.
So we're doing that this weekend.
Wow.
And we, and I belong to the Lions Club. Mm-hmm. I've been a new member of the Lions Club. Only been there 46 years, or thereabouts.
So you're still new.
Yeah. But, two or three historical organizations, you know, and busy in the church and what have you. So mm-hmm. I've got enough to keep me going.
So we mentioned that you're also on our board here at Claremont Senior
yeah.
Services.
Yeah.
How long have you been a board member here?
About 21 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you and Ruth Ann have won some awards for your volunteer
yeah.
works.
Yeah, plenty of them. I can't think where it's at. Way up the pike, we went to and got an award.
Mm-hmm.
It took about 3 hours to drive up there.
I think that was the Appalachian, Ohio.
Yeah. But we got an award there, you know.
Yeah.
And I was really glad that we got the award when we did before Ruth Ann passed away.
Yes.
You know? She had cancer, so.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always willing, I am always willing to help people and do things for them, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yep, we're lucky to have you in our community. Tell me a little bit about your newspaper column where people may have, they've probably read that column, the majority of our listeners.
Yeah, when I was working, Ruth Ann and I would fish about twice, three times a week, because we eat a lot of fish. And when I retired, nobody fished. And the people would be coming to the campground, and they would call the secretary, "We're coming down this weekend for camping. How's the fishing?" Well, they didn't know. So that's why I started writing it.
Okay.
So now then, it's got a little bit of everything in it. What is going on in the community, or what senior service is doing, or what the churches are doing, and the food pantries, and just so I can keep people filled in what they have.
Now, but, one thing you didn't mention about your newspaper article is you talk about your cat.
Oh, Mr. Chester.
Tell me about your cat.
Mr. Chester is about, before we got him, we had another cat that my grandson, I said, "What should we name it?" He said, "Call it Chester." Well, we took it to the vet to have it taken care of. And then the vet came out and he said, "Well, I got the news for you." And he said, that happens to be a female. So we called it Chessie.
Yep.
Well, Chessie was a very loving cat, but it would get out of a night room and the coyotes got it.
Oh.
So the year before Ruth Ann passed away, my granddaughter's mother-in-law, cat had kittens, and so she brought me some pictures. Well, here was Chester, and I said, "That's the one I want." He had white paws and white chin and what have you, you know. And he's about as rotten as he can right now. I think he's probably four years old.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have his breakfast first of the morning, and I always have a yogurt and a booze drink for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some bacon too, but he'll lay on the floor and watch me eat the yogurt. But now when I pick the bows up, take the lid off, here he comes and jumps up on my chair. He has to have a little drink of that, you know. So it's amazing how he's got me spoiled and got me trained good. But it's a blessing to have him, you know. Of a night is probably the hardest time, evening for me, with Ruth Ann gone, mm-hmm. and I've got him there, so that makes it a little better, you know.
Yeah, and we're recognizing a lot more in senior services how important people's pets are.
Oh, yes.
Because they're such good companions to the customers that we serve.
Well, I can tell you a story about another cat. A fellow told me at the Lions Club pancake breakfast, the last one here 2 weeks ago, that he has a cat that is spoiled. It's always with him. So he likes to deer hunt. So he put the cat in the garage and when he would go deer hunting. and he wanted to go on deer. He was going deer hunting, and he couldn't find the cat, and it was hid. So he went on deer hunting and back in the woods and got up in his tree stand, and he was sitting there, and he said, all at once I heard some scratching like, and said, here come the cat up, got in his lap.
Oh my goodness.
And said, well, it was too late to take him back to the garage, you know. And said, so he was sitting there, and said, all at once the cat just looked around real quick, turned his head around. So I looked back, and there was a deer standing there.
Oh my gosh.
And he said the deer was looking at us, and then it looked away, and he said, I loaded my bow real quick, and I got the deer.
Wow.
So he said, the moral of the story is, the cat goes with me every time I go deer hunting. And last Sunday, Mr. Smith that lives out of Bam, was him and his wife, they're up in their 90s, and they was got a big picture window so they can watch and look at everything. And here come an eagle flying from the lake.
Wow.
And it flew around and landed in a tree by my place. And so the eagles are begin to build up in the forest on the lake, I see. But the osprey, it's amazing. The osprey is in the eagle family.
Mm-hmm.
And the osprey has been there ever since the lake has been there. When the osprey feeds on the shad, he'll go clear in the water. He'll just dive in and get the shad. When the eagle feeds, he goes down and takes his talons and picks it up. He doesn't go into the water.
Wow.
But Ruth Ann and I was fishing one evening. We were sitting there in Rook's Hollow, they named it. and an osprey, we could see it. He'd go out and get a shad and come back and sit down and drop the shad in the water and said, it was just loose, damn it, you know. He'd go out and get another shad and come back. And he'd done that three times till the third one, they'd come back. He sat down with both talons on the limb and he sat there quite a little bit before he went eating on it.
Hmm.
But there's so much to see. People will just take their time and look.
Mm-hmm. Our family loves the trails at East Fork.
Yeah.
They're not busy.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people that utilize those trails, and we just love going and hiking over there.
Steve Newman, the World Walker.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a group at Bethel that we kept track of him and followed him on his walk. The day he was coming back, I fixed up the camp down there in a park for him to stay overnight. And the next morning, they brought school children down, walked into Bethel, and I walked with them too. But the fellow that was, I don't know what to call him, but he kept his travel laid out where he was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, where's he coming into the park? And he said, well, he's coming in Twin Bridges. And I said, if you got a lot of newspaper, he'll never make it. And he said, what do you mean? I said, the lake is in there now. So I told him how to come on in. And so I was checking on him, and he got down to 222 to 125. And people was going in from work. They'd get by their family, and they come back.
Yeah.
And it took him over an hour, to come from there up to the park.
My goodness.
You know, that's not very far.
Right.
But I called the chief one day and I said, told him about Steve Newman. He said, I've been reading about that. And I said, I'd like to name one of the trails around the park. And he said, you got it. He said, I'm going right now. And he said, we can get that done. So that's why we got the name there.
Oh, okay. Right. I've walked that trail. I had no idea that you named it.
Oh, yes.
That's amazing.
So working at the park has been a real, real joy for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing for the community.
It really is.
Has been, millions of people have enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fellow above Batavia, Marjon Kennel.
Yeah.
Now back when I was working, in February we would have a winter camp out. And Mr. Marjon would go to Alaska with the dogs and his sled when they had the Iditarod.
Wow.
And he would haul supplies out to the camps. Mm-hmm. Well, we had about 6 inches of snow, and he brought his team up there to the park and fled, and I got to drive them.
Oh, that's neat.
That was quite a thrill there.
That's really neat. I would like to just personally encourage people to utilize our park because it's such a treasure that we have right in our backyard. And
that's it.
They've done such a job at updating it. Those new restroom facilities are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
They've added so many full hookup sites to the campground.
Right. And did you know there was a gold mine on the park?
No.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Yes, yes. I have a picture at home. I never thought of that. I could have brought it. But I will bring it over and let you see or take a picture of it if you want. John Scott was the operator. I was back here with the Sportsman's Club. Oh, yes, I belonged to it too. since about 18.
Wow.
So it's been a few years. The club took a hike back there, so I went back with them. And I think Ruth Ann went too. But the old cabin was there that he lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And flume that they run the water out and wash old. He come back from the store one day, and I imagine he had been to Bantam store. I wouldn't swear to that. But somebody came walking out of the mine, and so he was afraid it was going to would fall in on him, and so he set dynamite and blowed it in. Now you can see the outline of the mine when the water's down to a winter pool.
Okay.
He got quite a bit of gold out of there. Yes.
Wow.
And there was another gold mine up on by the campground.
Okay.
Harley Hal, who's a dear friend of mine, he was a young fella at that time, and he would they were fox hunting. So he would go to that mine up there and sit and talk to the fella and listen to the dogs run and what have you. And this fella was in the mine one day. He started in and he forgot something, went back, and the mine collapsed.
Oh my.
But that particular mine was called Bear Hollow.
Hmm.
Because when the settlers was coming through, they killed a bear in there. East Fork got names by what the settlers named it, like a deep eddy. Now that was a hole of water about 30 foot deep.
Okay.
And it was kind of like a well. And people would steal something and dump it in there, maybe a car or whatever. And there was a diver who went down to hook on to pull out whatever it was. And he come shooting out of the water. And they said, "What's the matter?" He said, "There's a catfish down there that can swallow me."
Oh my goodness.
When I was just below Deep Eddy, there's a riffle. And when a settler was coming through, one of the settlers got drowned in that riffle. It was kind of deep, like. And they called it a frolly, so they called it Irishman's. This fellow drowned was an Irishman. Called it Irishman's Folly.
Oh, wow.
And then on down the creek, there was another hole there. A fellow got bit by a rattlesnake, and so they call it the rattlesnake hole.
I didn't need to hear that part. So if people wanted to learn more about the history around the park, is there a resource for them? Are there books about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you can get it. I think the library's got them. I'm not sure of that.
Okay.
But I roamed out from 1970 till the lake got in there, in the bottom of the lake. About 2 o'clock in the morning, phone had ring. We had one to the bed, and my kids are up there and they're lost. Well, I'd get up and get dressed and go out and go to hunting them.
Wow.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, and those hollows is dark. Turn your light out and you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. But it was quite an experience.
Yeah, it sounds like
to get a park started.
Wow.
And it's amazing, and it was amazing to me. After I retired, there was two carloads come from Columbus down there for a dinner for me.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. You know.
I can believe it. You're a pretty influential person in our community.
I couldn't believe it. Anyway, it's been a good life. Ruth Ann and I have had some ups and downs and what have you. I had some problems there to park. I had a fellow steal a truck from me at the point of a shotgun.
Oh, my goodness.
And went down in Alabama and killed a state trooper with it. So.
Oh.
But it's been a blessing for me, you know.
Well, we're lucky to have you here at Claremont Senior Services. Our community's lucky to have you. And I thank you for being our very first guest on our podcast.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I'm sure I encourage people to read your article. Tell them again what the article is called and where
is
it?
The Old Fisherman.
It's the Old Fisherman. Which paper?
Yeah. It's in the Claremont Sun and a lot of papers, you know.
All right.
And I ended up encouraging people to go to the church of your choice, mm-hmm. and God bless.
Yep, that's your tagline.
That's it.
Yeah. So. One last thing. Something that I'm going to ask people here on the show. If you had a word of advice for somebody younger, probably, what would that piece of advice be?
Put your faith in the Lord first off, and be honest, tell the truth, and don't try to shaft anybody.
I love it. All right. Thank you, Mr. Rooks.
Okay, baby.
I just love talking to him. He is a wealth of knowledge, and he's got the most interesting stories. If you ever have the opportunity to sit down and pick his brain a little bit, please do so. You will not regret it. I have the great opportunity to sit down with seniors who have these amazing stories, and I just learn so much about them every single time I do. So just take some time to sit with people that you don't know. Ask them what their stories are. I think you'll be fascinated at the history that we have in Claremont County and just the treasures that lie within our own communities. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like more information about anything you heard in today's program, please visit our website at Claremont Senior Services, www.claremontseniors.com. You can also give us a call at 513-724-1255. You can find us on Facebook as well. If you have an idea for our podcast, please let us know. Feel free to call us at the number mentioned earlier or send us an email on our website. Have a great day, everybody.